Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Dr. Christian Conti. He's a favorite on YouTube with his very successful videos, including 10 Ways to Discipline Your Children. That's a classic. Very, very helpful for parents, grandparents. Also, author of Walking Through Anger, his latest book. And so, Christian, you know, we're headed for... some people are predicting that it's going to be a really tough winter. And so, even though the vaccine promises to deliver us from COVID-19... what words of encouragement do you have to our listeners who are, you know, struggling, maybe a little depressed? They can't, you know, celebrate Christmas the way they have traditionally. It's really, you know, it's quite a stress.
It is. It really is. So, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges that each of us has is this. When we expect the world to be the way we think it should be, we might be logical, we might be rational, we might say, listen, this is how the world should be right now. But to me, that's what I call the cartoon world, because that's just made up. It's, the world of is made up.
It's so the Hallmark postcard world.
Yeah. And it's not that it's not beautiful. My goodness, that's a beautiful, hey, I love those thoughts, those are awesome. But the reality is that it's not reality. So what I teach people to do is align your expectations with reality, which means the reality is this is going to go on for whatever amount of time it's going to go on. And if you can align your expectations with that and recognize, okay, this holiday season's not going to be the same as previous or even future ones, it's going to be different. So what about embracing that and saying, okay, let me make the best of it? I know that can sound cliche, but there's a deep psychological truism to that, that when we can align our expectations with the reality of what exists, we stop trying to make it fit what we think it should be, and we actually start dealing with what it actually is.
So I guess that means spend less time making comparisons, because, you know, you think about, you know, that European holiday or that Florida or Caribbean vacation that you were going to be taking, and you feel like a sense of loss, or the family gathering that you can't attend, you know, the usual one with the, you know, all the relatives, you know, where a couple of dozen people sit around a table and you carve a ham. That may not be happening this year. So what do you, put that on hold.
Yeah, but let's say, okay, so it's not happening. Now you have an option. You have an option while it's not happening. Now it's not going to happen left or right. So now it's up to you to whether or not you spend the way it does happen talking about, well, it should be happening. And my relatives should think the way I think. They should feel the way I do. Again, that's just going to weigh you down. That's going to make you even more miserable. It is what it is. So now the question is, what can you tell yourself about what you're experiencing? So one of the most practical things I teach people and what we're doing in my own family system is this. We're embracing what we can have. So if it's just my wife and daughter and me, then we're going to embrace that and we're going to have a magical holiday season together, just the three of us, and it'll be beautiful.
What about the nature of
the Zoom communication. We've done that with our family, you know, as a substitute for Thanksgiving. However, I just find that deeply unsatisfying. Is there something inherent in a flat screen and multiple boxes where, you know, people are talking over each other that just doesn't cut it in terms of human interaction?
Listen, it's one of the things I love about being honored to speak with you is I know you know this basic education stuff, but you remember Harry Harlow's experiments with monkeys.
Yes. And they put these. Right. Tell us about that. Yeah.
So they put these monkeys, they take these baby monkeys and they put them in with a wire monkey that has food. Right. And then they put them in an option to choose between a wire monkey. So
it even has fake fur. It has fake fur, you know, faux fur.
Like yeah.
Right. Well,
so the one with like fur and is like like comfortable has no food. But the one that has wire, but looks like a monkey outline, It has food. And time again, the baby monkeys chose the comfortable one because they wanted that love. They wanted that love more than they wanted the basic need of food. Mm-hmm. And that's monkey. So then we start thinking of the frontal cortex of human beings. And we start thinking of what we might want. My gosh, we want that connection, that human touch. You know, it's funny because we talk about the prison system and I do a lot of work in the prison system and I make a concerted effort to shake hands with everyone I meet. And the reason why I do that is not just
Anthony Fauci wouldn't be happy with that. He says that handshakes, should be a relic of the past, you know, going forward.
Yeah. I see a flip side to that. I see human beings who realize that they're not good enough to be touched. They're not good enough to have connection.
Well, you know, the expression, the untouchables, you know, literally, there's an entire cast which they're labeled untouchables.
Yes. And so it's so detrimental to the human psyche. Again, how do you want to go down? Do you want to go down with fear of something that may or might not impact you? Or do you want to go down with something that you know is definitely going to impact you? And not being able to touch or have human connection, that hurts us as human beings. That's a reality.
I'm getting, Christian, is it's this whole thing, this whole experience, it's kind of a risk-benefit equation. You know, we have to, you know, acknowledge the risk, but we also have to look at the supposed benefits of sequestration and lockdown, and wonder if we're not sacrificing some, you know, crucial element to our well-being that is, you know, really kind of irreplaceable, and you know that you know, ultimately we need to strike a balance.
Exactly. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. And for your listeners, what a blessing to have you to phrase it that way, because that's actually it. We have a risk-benefit analysis. Again, in no way, shape, or form would I ever advocate nothing's real. No, of course, there's lots of real things out there. What I'm asking you is risk balance, just analyze that and say risk-reward. And sometimes we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and I'm not sure that's wise.
So what are some of the things we can do to cultivate resilience? I mean, you say that, you know, you're maintaining a routine that is keeping you healthy and mentally balanced. What are some of the ways that people can, you know, given that a lot of their usual means of expression is removed these days?
Yeah, I think it's smart to figure out what works for everybody. For me, I say this a lot. We're body, mind, and spirit beings. So we need to focus on exercise. We need to focus on our self-talk. And we need to focus on ways to enrich our spirits, whatever that is. I don't care what your beliefs are, whatever your passion is, that's great. But when I talk about beliefs sometimes, and I try to emphasize meditation, because meditation can kind of breach that barrier between what is spiritual and what is reality, because The reality is that meditation can benefit you even if you have no spiritual beliefs. But it also feeds a part of you that I think is very fulfilling. So I really encourage people, take time to meditate, take time to pay attention to your self-talk, and really take time to exercise. My goodness, if you're doing all three of those, you're taking your vitamins and you're eating healthily, I think you're on a better path for sure.
Yeah, you know, this morning it was kind of gloomy and dark and cold. It was about 30 degrees, but I wasn't feeling it, but I forced myself to get on my bike and do about a 15-mile bike ride up and down the hills here in New Jersey, and it did me a lot of good. You know, just getting outside, you know, the focus is on the road. It's not on your thoughts, and you generate endorphins, so that's not too shabby.
It's perfect. It's really what it is. You put one foot in front of the other and you keep going. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. You're not always going to feel good. I didn't feel good starting out my workout this morning. And you know what? I'm blessed to have a wife who's right there with me. But I was like, listen, I don't feel good, but it's not about feeling good. Then we started doing, we were about three sets into it. We were like, listen, I feel good now. So you might not feel good when you start, but once you get going, you're going to feel a lot better.
Yeah, a lot of gyms are closed, so people are looking for other outlets. They're being ingenious about home exercise. I got a pair of stretch bands for, you know, $49.95, and, you know, I'm setting them up in the apartment when I can't go out and I can't, you know, access the gyms. A lot of the gyms in New York are closed or limited. So that's, I think, one of the ways. You know, when people look back on this, I think it's actually going to be really a boon to people's mental well-being and resilience when they say, look, we survived the pandemic of 2020. I mean, right now, I think all of you listening to this, and I'm sure that Christian would agree, you ought to give yourself a big pat on the back. Acknowledge yourself for what you did in 2020. I mean, it may not have been great all the time, and there may have been some really rocky times, and you might have despaired, and, you know, you might have succumbed to some habits that you're not too proud of. But you made it through, the vast majority, the yeah. ones, you know, who are didn't make it through. Well, they're not in our listening audience anymore, unfortunately. But those of you who are listening, through your resourcefulness, through your resilience, your determination, your ingenuity, creativity, you made it through. So,
yep.
Right?
That's so beautiful. Listen, that's powerful because that's such a reality. So I was telling my daughter about how my grandmother went in when she was 17 years old, and she passed away in 1995 at 83. But when she was 17 years old, she was in 1920s. She went by herself to New York City. And I thought about, like, think about this and mm-hmm. think about that time. And then it was right before, so she was alive during the Depression.
Yeah.
And I thought those people, like, they dealt with things that they thought, when are we ever going to see the light at the end of the tunnel? But they did, and that is the same. And I looked at my daughter and I said, listen, that's what we're going through. And how proud do we all feel when we're like, yep, I made it through that. So, like, I love what you just said, because I agree with that 1,000%. We all made it through. Like, 2020 is literally almost over in a few days. And then, boom, we made it through 2020. It was a tough time, but there was a beginning, there was a middle, there was an end. And honestly, if I had to give anger management advice to the world, it's that every emotional situation has a beginning, has a middle, and has an end. And I promise you, emotions come and go. Actions can't be undone, but emotions, they come and go.
Indeed. And that's also a perspective, I think, that meditation can give you, because in meditation, the emotions are viewed as transient. They're sort of, you know, you try to step back and view your emotional state as, you know, something that's sort of like, you know, clouds, you know, coalescing and disappearing in the sky, that they seem to have a very, very persuasive reality for you, but actually they're transient, and at some level, at a core level, you're not controlled by them.
Well, I just did a video on meditation for the prison system, and then I did one for my YouTube channel. But what I was attempting to teach in that video was this: imagine if, like, for instance, you can, if you need to scratch while you're meditating, like I always talk about, a still body is a still mind. If you can sit perfectly still, beautiful. And listen, if you need to scratch, scratch. There are no hard, fast rules. But just imagine that if you have an itch, but you choose not to scratch it. And you practice this day in, day out, every day, where you have an itch and you go, you know what? It's itchy, but it's not the end of the world, and I can survive without scratching. Imagine what that does, not only to your psyche, but to your daily habits. So that when you have an impulse to do something down the road, I practice this long enough, you go, you know what? I don't like what that person said, but it's not the end of the world, and I can handle it, and I don't need to be reactive or impulsive. I mean, that's powerful.
And there's a physiological basis for this, too, because, you know, as many people who suffer from dermatitis and itchy skin problems understand, is the more you scratch, the more you itch. And one, you know, and that sensation is usually transient. And if you can forbear, and it's tough sometimes, but if you can forbear, it passes. Another way of looking at it is, you know, we're taught not to rub our eyes these days, but sometimes, you know, feel like, you know, you really want to rub your eyes, but your hands aren't clean. So you know that that's one of the ways you're going to get COVID-19. And sure enough, you know, you shove your hands in your pockets and, you know, do something else. And a few minutes later, you forget that you actually had an itchy eye. Kind of interesting.
It, but it's it. And then, and again, I focus on we master what we practice. I actually wrote a little workbook, personal growth workbook called "We Mastering What You Practice." And it's a reality. We master what we practice. Listen, if you practice gossiping, you'll get really good at gossiping. If you practice self-discipline, you get really good at that too. So I love what you're teaching, because I think that's important for people who are struggling with itchiness or anything. When you practice understanding you don't need to satiate an impulse, you actually master that.
Yeah. You know, I thought of you recently because I saw a movie, and I hope you saw this movie. It was called The Mustang, and it was about a convict who was in prison in the Colorado prison system, who was convicted of a violent crime and sentenced to a long sentence. And he was inarticulate and violent. And then he got in the prison program where they raised and trained wild Mustangs. Ultimately, they trained them. They were then sold to police departments. And did you see that movie? Because
I love that concept, because I'm a real big fan of the dog programs we have.
Yeah, I recommend it very highly to you. And I was really surprised, because the actor said, "Boy, this guy is a fantastic actor," and you know, he looked like you know, a Hispanic guy, you know, and a real tough looking guy, and he had sort of a Texas accent. And then I found out that he was a Belgian from Antwerp. He's a really popular actor in Belgium. So, but the point being is that I think there were a lot of lessons in that movie about rehabilitation, and about also, you know, what you say is this is a guy who was extremely violent, but he had no vocabulary to understand it. He was not in touch with his emotions. He was 0 to 60 in, you know, a half a second in terms of his emotional responses. And he learned to moderate his emotional responses. Why? Because he had to deal with a wild bucking Mustang, and he had to be attuned to the, you know, the animal's moods and have a understanding of that. So I just...
You just hit the word, though. This is the word, attuned to the emotions. So with the dogs and dog programs, we see the same. Any of these animal programs, we see that. They become attuned to it. So I teach something in yield theory that is slightly different than, let's say, cognitive behavioral therapy, which predicates your thoughts cause your feelings. I definitely believe your thoughts influence your feelings. I'm not sold that your thoughts cause your feelings, because one of the things my experience in clinical research has shown me is our mind often wants to match our body. So if we feel the impulse to be angry, we tend to search for a story that makes sense out of that.
To rationalize it.
So the easiest way I teach this is, you might judge somebody who commits a violent crime, but think about it. If you've ever woken up in the middle of the night, awakened in the middle of the night, stepped on a child's toy and been angry, you really weren't angry. You were in pain, and you're angry. Least endorphins. Why'd you leave these toys out? That process is actually no different than, without even seeing that movie, that what that person would have done if he was nonverbal, because he had the emotion, he didn't know what to do with it, so he lashes out. But what I teach with inmates is you have this emotion, and you can understand that just because you have that emotion doesn't mean you have to respond to it. And the more in tune to it you can become, the more attuned to it you can become, the less you are controlled by it, and the more you can learn from it.
Well, absolutely. And I think that was the message of that movie, but it's illustrated in your work. You know, props to you for taking on, you know, really one of the most challenging tasks in the field of psychology, which is to work with hardened criminals, you know, in the penal system. And, you know, I think that that really speaks to the power of your methodology that, you know, if you're not a hardened criminal, you already have certain advantages in terms of self-control and impulse modulation.
True. And listen, I was laughing because somebody goes, what's this anger, level five anger? What's that mean? I said, listen, only three other people have level five and they're like 30 years older than I am. They said, what's this mean? I said, well, let me tell you what it means in practice. Yeah. Imagine standing in maximum security prison and the inmates are about to riot. So you go on a particular block that where they're really struggling and you say, listen, let them out of their cells. Let me talk to them. I'm surrounded by 10 inmates in maximum security prison who are absolutely enraged about what's going on. And I'm practicing yield theory. Like I'm listening, validating, exploring options. And when they're screaming and they're around me and they're fired up and I'm going, listen, none of it's personal. I don't care if they come at me. It's not personal. I'm not trying to let my ego be involved. I'm listening, genuinely listening. And then I'm validating it. Cause if I'm in their shoes and I'm locked up constantly and I don't understand why, then I'm going to be angry too. And so I validate and then we explore options. Where can we go from here? Cause this, you know, this course of action leads to this, that course of action leads to that. And I've seen it, but when you can practice it in the moment, when you're surrounded in a maximum security prison, with inmates who are enraged, yeah, that's how you get to level five.
Well, it doesn't hurt that you're what, you know, 6'4", you got about 34 inch biceps, you know, you bench press, 350, and, you got, you know, menacing looking tattoos all over your body. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if it could work for me, you know, bespectacled, 162 pounds. I'm not sure that I could walk into the belly of the beast that with such confidence and,
It helps. Definitely helps. My size and strength helps, and I spent my life in martial arts and fighting helps. But I truly go in without the ego, and I'm like, look, like, listen, the stuff that I would have been angered at when I was young, I set that aside. But listen, I'm here to help. Like, that's the only reason why I'm here. And everybody has a right to feel however they do. This is what I say. Let's bring it back to people who are going to visit with their relatives. Maybe they're on Skype or maybe they're visiting with their relatives over the phone and they're so angry because maybe their relatives voted differently from them.
Oh, wow.
What I would tell you to do is this. Like there is a reason why people voted differently. And it wasn't because they're embracing the worst qualities of whatever you think of whatever person you didn't vote for. Yeah. It's because they voted for what they believed in. And it's not like, honestly, like I watched this happen and I wish I could reach into people's hearts and see this. But like I listened to groups of people. Some people thought, well, if you vote one way, you're voting to support racism. And if you vote another way, you're voting to support a sex trade industry. Mm-hmm. So you're literally forced. Either you're supporting racism or you're voting rapists.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? That's what we've really boiled this down to. And it makes sense when you understand why someone didn't support that other person, because neither one of those is good. Racism isn't good. Rape isn't good. And if you're on one side, and then each side goes, well, that's not what we're really about. Well, guess what? That's what the other side thinks you're about. So it doesn't matter. Well, that's not what we're really about. Yep. That's what the other side thinks. And so when you can step back and realize that there's so much more to why people might have voted the way they did, you start to really lead with compassion.
Yeah, we have enough to deal with without all this extra polarization that I think is being fed by the media. and monetized.
Exactly.
And monetized. All right. Look, great stuff. You know, where can people learn more? Because you got a whole passel of videos up on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, I love sending people to YouTube because it's a free resource. You don't have to spend a penny. Go to YouTube. Just go to Dr. Christian Conte, C-O-N-T-E. I've got bunches. I got books. I got all that kind of stuff. But honestly, like, I love directing people, especially when people don't have a lot of money right now. It's free. Hit subscribe. Hit like. Share the videos if you like them. Doesn't cost you anything. But I got a bunch of videos on life and a whole bunch more coming out for sure.
All right. Well, look, going forward, I think you'll really be a beacon in 2021. You're an essential service, so I hope they don't shut you down.
Hey, listen, my dad told me this years ago. He said, if you go into psychology, he's like, you'll never be without a job. And it wasn't long after he taught me that that I came up with the tagline. I've spent 22 years of my career saying, which is, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who have issues and dead people. So as long as you're alive, you got issues. And I'm here to help support you and help you get through those issues.
All right. Well, thanks for bringing about a lot of healing, especially this somewhat gloomy holiday season. Thank you, Dr. Christian Conte, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, man. I respect you tremendously, and I feel humbled any time I get to come back on your show. So thank you for having me.
It's always fun. Let's resume this, you know, perhaps in brighter times, which will certainly come to pass. Just a question of when. Thanks a lot. And holiday greetings to you and your family. All the best. Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.